When it comes to making a big decision, buying a house, say, or making a career change, how do you decide? Is it research, 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 or do you just go with your gut?
Our next guest says a lot of us have very different ways of making decisions, and that research says our decision-making style can have a big impact on our happiness.
Elizabeth Bernstein joins us. She writes the Bonds column on relationships for the Wall Street Journal, and we've posted her piece on decision-making over at the Central Time Facebook page. Elizabeth, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So you focus in that piece on two different styles of decision-making. What are they?
Exactly. There's two main styles, according to researchers. The first is called maximizers, and those are people who like to take their time with a decision. They like to weigh every single option they can. They're looking for the very, very best decision out there. So that's number one. Second type is satisficers, and these people would rather be fast than super thorough. And they still have high standards, but, you know, good enough is okay for them. They want to make a decision that's good for them and move on.
Did you make these terms up, or do they exist out there?
They exist out there. This is, you know, years and years of research, believe it or not.
Okay.
And satisficers, which seems, kind of a silly word, is actually a mashup of satisfy and suffice. It is a word.
So it seems like, you know, it's probably a spectrum style thing where some people fall in the middle, but there are also people at the extreme ends. What do we know about the different people and where they fall?
Well, we know that most people, as you say, do fall in the middle. And in fact, we can be a satisficer on some decisions. You know, we might be able to look at a restaurant menu and decide quickly, but if we're going to buy a car, we're a maximizer, we're going to take forever and figure it out. So we can sort of mix up our styles as well. But what we do know is, you know, people tend to fall into somewhere on the spectrum, one or the other. And maximizers, it's very interesting. They may make better decisions, but they are not as happy. The maximizers are actually more depressed, less satisfied with life. That's what the research shows.
Yeah, so what's the deal with that? I mean, and I think you cite research that says maximizers can make more money too, so they get better outcomes in some ways, they make better decisions. Why aren't they as happy as satisficers like me?
Because they always feel there's going to be another decision. They're driving themselves crazy, really. They always feel that there's going to be some other option they didn't look into. There could have been another decision they could have made. They always have this feeling that, you know, I didn't check every single box. There must be something else out there that could be better than what I have.
It's interesting, too, you write about how people who are maximizers do win in that they have better jobs, it sounds like, but they're not as happy about it.
They're just not as happy. So what you're referring to is a study that looked at college students and their first job out, and the maximizers actually got, if I remember correctly, 20%. The salary was 20% higher when they were done finding their first jobs than the satisficers. Yet when you went back after a period of time and asked all of them, satisficers and maximizers, who was happiest, the satisficers, the ones who had settled, sort of, were actually much happier.
Now, you have a short assessment quiz in the article. I took it. I had a 3 out of 13, which puts me way on the satisficer side, which I think surprises no one. Did you try it, Elizabeth? And if so, how did you come out on
it? I did. I'm way on the satisficer side as well. I think you'd almost have to be to have the reporter's deadlines. You have to be able to push that button and move on.
Yeah, it's not friendly to a friendly world of perfectionists in the media world. You have to stop
No.
and meet a deadline sometime.
Exactly. You got to just...
Now, one of the places this comes into play is in relationships, partnerships between people, things like marriages and romantic relationships. How do people negotiate this kind of ground when they're together? And one might be a maximizer, wants to really make sure they pick the, say, perfect kitchen tile for the backsplash, and somebody else, you know, just wants to pick a nice one and move on.
Exactly. So can you imagine a house renovation or buying a car, something like this? This can be really tough. There's no research that shows who, matches up with whom. Who, you know, do satisficers and maximizers get together more often than satisficers and satisficers or maximizers and maximizers? The theory is that possibly it's better if you have one of each in a couple, because then you can actually get something done. But how do you make that decision then? You can really drive each other crazy if one person wants to move quickly and one person, you know, really doesn't feel comfortable till they weighed every option. That is really a sticky problem.
Columnist Elizabeth Bernstein from the Wall Street Journal is with us now talking about our decision-making styles and how they can even affect our happiness.
And you can join us. How do you make big decisions? Do you carefully weigh the options and analyze, or do you go with your gut and just get it over with quickly? Do you have trouble with coworkers or loved ones who decide things in a different style? And how do you navigate that territory? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We continue our conversation now with Elizabeth Bernstein. She writes the Bonds column on relationships at the Wall Street Journal. We're talking about decision making. She wrote a recent piece on it, and we have that linked on our Central Time Facebook page. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. How do you make decisions? Lots of research, weigh all the options, or just go with your gut and hope for the best. 800-642-1234 is the number to call or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll go to our callers now. Allie joins us from Elkhorn. Hi, Allie.
Hi.
What do you think of this?
I think that a satisfier and a maximizer in a relationship work very well together, because my husband and I are both opposite ends of the spectrum. I am very much so weigh all of my options. Working as an accountant, I'm very detail-oriented and think through everything. And he's a farmer. He has to make his quick decisions and know that it's just going to work. And I think the two of us have come to a really good compromise, and it makes everything stronger in the relationship.
And so you don't get impatient with one another because of your styles. You wanting to move on more quickly, and he wanting to take more time, or vice versa. You wanting to take more time.
Right. And we don't have that issue because we work in different fields that we don't have that conflict.
Well, opposites attract. In Allie's case, Elizabeth, did you see that playing out in a similar fashion with other people you spoke with?
I did. I see a lot of couples who will say exactly what Allie's saying, that, you know, we managed to figure it out. It wasn't always easy, though. Most couples say, you know, there was a learning curve, and we had to learn to figure it out. At first, we drove each other crazy, but in the end, yes, it works very well with one of each.
Allie, thanks a lot for the call. We go now to Erica on the line in Sparta. Hi, Erica.
Oh, hi there. My reaction was exactly the same as the previous caller. My husband and I are polar differences, and I, too, will take forever to decide, where he's a very quick thinker. But he was an air combat controller in the Navy, so that's a good thing, where I was an electronics technician, so everything had to be perfect before I said it was okay. So,
but Erica, I got to ask, are there situations where it leads to conflict, these two different styles?
Every single day. Today is our 13th anniversary, and so we've made it this far, and now, you know, it's we're fine. We have our fights, we're passionate people, but we always get over it, and we end up laughing.
Well, congratulations on your anniversary, Erica. Elizabeth, are there tips out there for people in the situation? We heard from a couple of people now on how to negotiate that difference and decide which impulse or opposite of impulse to work with. Elizabeth?
I'm sorry, you broke up there. I didn't hear what you asked me.
I was just saying, are there tips on how to negotiate the two different styles for people who are together and not have it lead to conflict?
Exactly. So one thing you may want to, as a couple, sort of understand, you know, who does this particular decision matter to most? And, you know, whoever that is, maybe let that person make the decision. If one person really, really cares about, you know, what kind of car you're going to share, and the other person doesn't care as much, let the maximizer decide. But also maybe narrow down the options together is another good plan, another good tip. If you could narrow down the options to, you know, say five or so together, then let the maximizer decide. They're going to, cross off all their boxes, and they're going to be happier.
Well, thank you for that call, Erica. And on to Dennis in Fond du Lac. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. My wife and I are opposites also. If I'm going to make it a purchase, whether it's a major purchase, small purchase, I can walk into a store, see what's there, and make a decision. My wife will, she's great. She does all kinds of research, but she really anguishes for so long to make a decision. And has led to occasional conflict because it just drives me crazy that she can't make a choice. But as far as Erica, she can hold on because we've been married 38 years. So,
All right. Well, thank you, Dennis. Appreciate that. And, you know, echoing what other callers have said, sometimes it drives them crazy, but they can find some common ground in the middle as well and keep going. But is there, Elizabeth, an optimal way to be? Is one of these, I guess, more happiness-inducing?
Well, definitely the research shows that satisficers are more happy. But, you know, you really kind of want to be in the middle because you want to make sure you're making good decisions and you are doing, you know, some research. You don't want to be somebody who just makes knee-jerk decisions. But you don't want to make so many decisions that, you know, opportunities pass, you know, it takes so long making that decision that opportunities pass you by or you're really driving yourself nuts. And one thing that I thought was interesting listening to the callers is we're hearing sort of from couples where the men are the satisficers.
Yeah.
And but that actually, it's interesting, but I also think that's just coincidence of those calling in right now. Research shows that really men and women are both satisficers and maximizers in equal numbers.
Interesting. I was just starting to see a trend there too, and that's true in my mm-hmm. life too. But no, we just had a weird random assortment there, you're saying.
Mm-hmm. That, yeah, sort of the odds of the callers.
All right. Dennis, thanks a lot. We'll go to Danielle with us now in Waukesha. Danielle, hi.
Hi there. I am wondering if you have any advice for us maximizers who drive ourselves crazy, because I over-research every decision that I make, and I see it in myself, and I spend so much time. And yes, I know I'm making myself crazy, but I can't seem to stop.
Well, Danielle, I'm glad you made a snap decision to call us anyway. Elizabeth, any advice for somebody who feels like they maximize too much?
Exactly. You want to maybe give yourself a deadline. So if you're going to, you know, a deadline that sort of works with whatever it is, you know, you don't want to give yourself a deadline of a day, obviously, if you're going to choose from a menu for dinner. But, you know, if you're buying a car, give yourself a week, give yourself, you know, a specific amount of time that is not as long as you would usually take, and then, you know, make the decision in there. Also, you know, you might want to ask for help for somebody you know. Ask your, if it's too stressful to ask the spouse, you know, ask your friend, ask somebody else who you really trust to sort of, you know, give you the deadline or help you decide how you could make that time shorter, that decision time shorter, and maybe look over a few options with you and narrow them down that way.
But how do you choose which friend? So you could do this with any decision.
You have to have a go-to friend. You got to take the time to decide that one, and then over and over you go to that person, I guess.
So does the type that we are change as we get older, or do we just sort of lock in on a type and that's what we are?
No, it does change. And in fact, again, the research shows that we become more like satisficers as we get older. So the theory is that we just sort of learn that, you know, good enough is good enough. I don't have to drive myself crazy, you know, that it's not worth really worrying about. And we just sort of become better at making decisions and trusting our instincts.
Let's go now to Christina with us in Green Bay. Christina, hi.
Hi there. The question that I'm wondering about is that I'm more of a maximizer in my work life and probably more of a satisficer in my home life. I'm looking for any kinds of tips that could help me become more of a satisficer in my work life to help me make quicker decisions at work.
Well, Christina, before we let you go, do you feel like you need to make quicker decisions, or do you do a type of work that maybe you should be a maximizer in?
Well, my work is more analytical, and I think that it fits there, but there are instances where I think that I should be quicker in my decision-making.
Interesting. Elizabeth, your thoughts on cutting down some maximization in the workplace in particular?
It is interesting. I'd be curious to know, you know, what Christina does at home that makes her, you know, more able to quickly make decisions or more quickly make them. If there's anything that, you know, she sort of knows about herself, the way she makes decisions in her personal life that she could carry over to her work life. And also if she could remind herself, you know, of times at work where she has made good decisions and they didn't take forever. So think of basically your successes, you know, that decision took appropriate amount of time and it was a good one and it worked out. So maybe build a little confidence that way so you can relax a little. It's probably, I'm guessing, feeling that the stakes are a little higher at work and that's why it's a little harder. So if you can sort of remind yourself, hey, I've done this before and I've made good decisions at work, maybe that would help.
And I wonder, Elizabeth, before we run out of time here, what if we have somebody who feels like they're too much of a satisficer and they want to maximize a little more? Any advice on moving in that direction?
they need to marry a maximizer. They need to quickly find a maximizer. You know, that's a very good question. I think, you know, same as if you're a maximizer and you give yourself a deadline to hurry up a little bit, maybe if you're a satisficer, make yourself look at, say, oh, I usually look at 3 options. This time I'm going to look at 6. Make yourself set a number of options that's higher than you usually look at and, you know, start to do a little bit more research.
Is part of this just learning, you know, if you want to lean more in the satisficer direction, to let go of the results a little bit, to allow yourself to buy the wrong toothpaste, for example, or, you know, maybe even the wrong car once in a while?
Yeah, I think it really is. It's, you know, there's this saying that I learned a long time ago, don't let perfect be the enemy of the good. And I always thought that that was a great saying because, you know, you can hold on for perfect and, you know, but meanwhile, you know, a lot of good decisions are passing you by.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Elizabeth Bernstein, columnist of The Wall Street Journal. Her piece on decision-making is linked on the Central Time Facebook page.